There we go. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews was at hand. Verse 5, lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Now, I love that part because why would Jesus ask a question? Why would God ask that question? The question was, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Why do you think he asked that question? Or why does God ask questions, whether you saw it throughout the Bible, even in your personal life or through other people's story? Why do you think God asks questions? With Adam, where are you? Different type of questions throughout. Yes. See if they could be truthful. That's good. What else?
To see if they know that he knows everything.
See if he knows. Why do you think specifically he asked one of his disciples, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? It says in verse 6, he said that to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Why does God test us with questions? Y'all kind of already said it, but add some more to it. Yes. Willing. I think when you walk in with God, he loves asking us questions so that we'll be able to see where we are. The disciples, when they was on the boat and Jesus was asleep, how did Jesus respond? What did they do to Jesus? They were trying to wake him up, right? And then when Jesus responded, what did he say? But what did he say to the disciples first? Bible version right there. Why y'all screaming? This is what he went. Why y'all bothering me? Don't you have faith? So there's going to be junctures in your life with your idea, whether it's Brielle and her creativity, Nariah and her athletic ability, however she makes money, however they make money, Kennedy and speaking, Ariana and training and poetry, Pilar music, and Brianna with writing. There's going to be points in your walk with him where he's going to ask you questions. Where are we going to go buy food to feed these people? So Jesus walking beside you. Throughout life, you will experience this Holy Spirit prompting you, asking you this question, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Now, your bread is your purpose. Right now, for those who are hungry, what I'm baking right now is feeding you. As a preacher, I don't even get offended because I understand that not my message is not for everyone at every time. But right now, I'm giving bread so that you may be able to eat. This might not be a meal that you eat from today, but it may be a meal that you may need at 23 when you're at this juncture of your life. But when Jesus asks you this question, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? You have to realize that your gift, your bread, is not for you. Now, what's your favorite place? Bakery place, like I don't know if it's a donut shop, I don't know. Well, I'm talking about where you get pastries, bread, stuff like this. Jazzy's Cheesecakes. Huh? Jazzy's Cheesecakes over here, off University up here, right? Why Jazzy Cheesecakes?
It's good, like, mm-hmm. If you taste anything, it's just gonna be good.
It's gonna be good, right? Any other bakery place? Or a place where you go get bread? I don't know if mama in the car seeing Publix go get, but.
Cookout.
Well, so wherever you get bread. Now, imagine you going to Jazzy's, Pilar, and Jazzy says, we're all out of cheesecake because I ate them all. How would you feel, number one? Number two, how would you look at Jazzy?
I would feel irritated.
Irritated. What if you came in and she says, I have cheesecake, but they're in the back, but I'm not selling them?
Confused.
Why confused? Don't tell me why you was irritated with the first one. Let's unpack that. Why would you be irritated?
Because you're supposed to have,
if your doors are open and there's no close sign and, you're open, you're supposed to. Now, The second one, why would you feel confused if she says, I have what you need, but is in the back, but I'm not going to bring them out for you?
Why are they not bringing them? Mm.
Each and every one of you all are a bakery. And there's going to come a time where people are going to be, if you're not doing what you're supposed to, are going to be irritated or they're going to be confused. Why? Because the irritation is, yo, you a poet. Yo, you write books, right? Yo, my daughter wants to be in gymnastics. I saw you flip. Yo, what you mean you can't train? What you mean by that? Or you speak? Okay, I got 25 bands for you to speak right now. Would you take it? And imagine Kennedy saying, you know what? I'm allergic to money. When people write me checks to speak, I don't get allergic. I don't start scratching. I don't start itching. I that's what I'm called. That's what I'm worth. So why would I hold my bread from making bread? So you got to look at your life and be able to say, who's walking by me, who needs me to whatever. And Jesus is going to be beside you oftentimes. He's going to say, yo, Brianna, where are we going to go buy bread to feed these people? Each and every one of you have a people. You have a group. You have people that's waiting to subscribe, waiting to follow, waiting to invest, waiting to be all those different things. And you got to be prepared to answer that question. It says, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Now, what happens when a person eats? No, I'm going to go back to you, Pilar. You and Jazzy's. That little cheesecake right there to the left, your favorite one, one left. The lady says, oh, this must be your day. I only have one left. You get that cheesecake, and I don't know if you wait till you get to home. I rarely wait till I get home to eat. I rarely do that. You know what I'm saying? It's cold. You know what I'm saying? You know, it smells too good. I can't, you know, I got to pull that truck over. You know what I'm saying? So after you ate that cheesecake, how do you feel? You feel good. Look, you smile like you done had you a bite, right? Like, you feel good, right? So imagine the outcome when people feel good after they ate from your life. So that should motivate you to say, you know what, man, I got to make sure that my bakery is in business. Every day you should be writing, Brianna. Every day you should be speaking and working on your speaking, Kennedy. Every day, Brielle got to be in that miniature lab creating. She has to be in there doing that. Like Nariah got to be studying gymnastics to a greater degree and being ready to use her athletic ability. Pilar has to be around music every day. Brianna writing and Kennedy speaking. Ariana writing her poetry book because a bakery just doesn't open up shop. Anybody who owns a business know that day one of business was not day one of business. When I started my business, I started it publicly, but I had to do a lot of work in that business privately. So right now, think about your bakery. Let me get three people. What would you call your bakery shop right now? Books and bread. Speakers, I'm about to mess these names up. But what I'm saying is, think about your bakery shop and think about, like, when people come and do business with you, would they feel like Pilar after eating that Jazzy cheesecake? He says, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Verse 6, he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. So Jesus already knew, hey, whether you do what you want to do or not, whether you do it, I'm going to do it. One of the worst things you will ever experience in life is when you see someone else living the life you were supposed to live. Imagine, Ariana, you at home, laptop open. You're just watching a random YouTube channel. And you hear this girl get on the stage and she's literally almost word for word spitting out the poetry that God put in your stomach a year ago. And you look down at the views and you see that she got 1.6 million views on that one poetry, how would you feel? Why frustrated? No, no, no. She just, God was like, yo, I'm giving you time to do yours. Oh, you're not doing it? All right, cool. I'm going to go here. How would you feel if you knew that should have been you and that return on that purpose piece, but somebody else got blessed for it? How would you feel?
I'll be mad at myself for, like, wasting my
time. All of that can be avoided. I don't want to live life and then see somebody else benefit from something. So Jesus said, man, I'm going to see what my boy going to do. Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Verse 6, he said to this to test him for himself, knew what he would do. So Jesus said, man, whether you do it or not, we're going to get her done. And you don't want somebody else to get paid for something that you were supposed to do or to get the impact return from their impact. Verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. Now, Philip's perspective was off. He looked at what he had. What did he say?
Mr. Isaac.
Yes, ma'am.
Pardon the interruption. Uh-huh. Can we have Kamaya?
Sure thing. Yes, ma'am. So verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. And one disciple said, okay, either way. Philip is like a lot of us. Well, God, I mean, all I got is that I was brought up in this neighborhood. All I got is I don't have enough. The issue is when it comes to doing things that God wants us to do, we always look at what we have versus about what we have. What we have with God, like God said, I ain't expecting you to invest that much. I ain't expecting you to be at an elite level right now. But when you with me, you at an elite level. If you master your craft, you'll be at an elite level. So Philip had a bad perspective. He says, all we have is 200 denarii worth of bread. And he says, this would not be enough for each of them to get a little. Verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? So these disciples, like many of us, have a bad perspective. Philip was like, yo, we don't have enough. Other disciples say, yo, little boy doesn't have enough. Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so that the man sat down, about 5,000 numbers. So he said 5,000 men equates to 20,000 people. So imagine, you know, Jesus got everybody sitting in the Spectrum Center, and I'm talking about that place full. That's how many people. We're talking about Hornets versus Lakers. We're talking about a sold-out game. We're talking about 25,000 seats in the Spectrum Center. So imagine that many people. So, of course, Philip's going to be like, yo, we got a packed out house. We don't got enough, bro. And imagine you, Xavier, center court. Hey, yo, man, all I got is. Wouldn't you be confused, too? Like, all I got is 5 loaves, 2 fish. I'm in the middle of the Spectrum Center, and there's 25,000 people sitting down hungry. That's the beauty of a miracle, that God takes something so little and can feed many. Have the people sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. Good gracious. And when they had eaten their full or fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftovers that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets. They're talking about the baskets this high, with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this indeed is the prophet who is to come into the world. Perceiving that they were about to come and take him. Okay, so something else different. But we see God is glorified. Now, for instance, let's say, Brianna, you're worth $5 billion and you feed a bunch of people. Would God really be glorified as much with that? No. Why?
I mean, it's like I have a lot anyway, so I mean, it didn't really hurt me that much to just give away a little bit. I mean, it don't really matter to me.
But how much of an impact if all you had was obviously not enough? And then out of nowhere, you see God bless it and distribute it, and it feeds so many. You will feel like, whoa, I can't even get glory for this. My gift is so powerful that when it's distributed, when it's blessed by him, I can't get the glory. Did the Bible say the little boy was held up like he won his, shot the game when it shot? They didn't put the little boy on his shoulders like, yeah, Jimmy, go, Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy. Like, because Jimmy brought the, Jimmy, thanks, man. Jimmy dapping up people, going through the line. Hey, y'all eating good? It's on me. Go on, get you some more, man. We got enough. Like, oh, you need more fish? Hey, table two needs more fish. Oh, table five need more bread. The little boy, all we knew was he brought. But God was glorified. So what am I saying in all this? It doesn't matter how little the gift is. It doesn't matter how little the gift seems to you. When it's put in the hands of God and he blesses it and he distributes it, it will feed the masses. Now, let's talk about blessing distribution. Oh, we got to go. Jesus has to bless what you've done, because you see how many people got athletic ability, but it's not blessed by him. You know how many people got writing gifts, but it's not blessed by him. You know how many people got all these different gifts, once a few minutes, but it's not blessed. There's something called the anointing. Like, everybody's talented, everybody's gifted, but not everybody's talents and gifts are anointed. Anointing means that God endorses that gift. Now, if you take your writing gift, speaking gift, athletic gift, and you give it to the world, God can't bless it. And God won't distribute it. But if you take your gift, writing, dance, whatever it is, those five loaves and two fish, and you allow God to bless it, and you have the right perspective, you have the right heart towards people, you're not money hungry, you're not money focused, right? But you wanting to be a blessing, then when God distributes, the devil can't hinder it. So I just want to leave y'all with that. Make sure that you, when you leave this room tonight, whenever, think about what God can do when he blesses your gift and distributes it through you, and how many people can be impacted. All right, love you all. Y'all have a good one.